Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. All right, already, welcome back to a brand new episode of the College Baseball Experience. Good morning, College Baseball Degens. I'm currently coming at you from the Eastern time zone at 5:45 a.m. You can thank your local sportsbook or just DraftKings because they didn't even put out odds until about 1 a.m. So it took me usually about 3 hours to handicap most of these games. And again, they put out SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, and Big 12 games. So on here, I will be handicapping all of those. A couple more are trickling out as I was working on the slate, but I'm not going back. I like to do it in chronological order, and I already wrote them down in my notes. Speaking of yesterday, I'm wearing my Michigan hat today because my boys, the Wolverines, the boys in blue, proved me wrong, and I felt like I needed to honor that. So I've got the U of M hat on my head. On the day, the picks from this podcast were 3-3, so only plus 0.2 units, which in the grand scheme of things wasn't amazing. So South Carolina started off the day. They lost to LSU. Then we hit a bomb in Kansas at plus 200. Virginia at minus 165. Again, that ACC tournament punt play. It's 2-0 this year as Clemson at minus 135 came in on the money line for us. And then Washington minus 110. They were an absolute embarrassment. I think they lost like 17-4 against UCLA. I didn't watch pretty much any game until the nightcap of the SEC and the Big 12 tournaments because it was my mother's birthday yesterday. So I'm actually still feeling quite energized, even though it's 5:45 a.m. on the East, because just I was out running around with some family and celebrating. And then the parlay didn't come through because Notre Dame lost to Pitt in the morning in the ACC tournament. But Stanford won at night. So if you decided to just play the trees on the money line there, that was good enough. Or if you went with the other two parlay pieces that I had named other than Notre Dame, it was Virginia, Stanford, that parlay would have won. So in total, 15 games I talked about on the podcast yesterday. My picks went 9-6 on the website. You can view all of my college baseball picks for the mid-major games that are also played and these high major games that I also input on there on the site. Every game that was bettable yesterday, my record was 29-22. So that's two straight winning days here in the postseason and two straight winning days with that picks page. So it allows me to just put the picks out there. I don't have to talk about them on the podcast because it would take me about 15 minutes to handicap each of those games and write out what I'm thinking. Whereas literally it would take me 5 minutes to go check who I think is pitching. And I'm betting mostly on recent form for most of these teams. And so far it's been quite well, done quite well. So yeah, I think I got most of what I wanted to say out early on in the spot. So before we jump into today's games, let me tell you again, once again, about Edge Boost. If you're not signed up for them, you're missing out currently. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Similar to buy now, pay later programs, Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest, and you can pay back the advance over four equal weekly installments. That's right, 0% interest. Simply deposit the funds into your account, and Edge Boost will match your deposits so you can use two times the funds on any legal sports book. So Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in advances, so you can get up to $2,500 additional money into your bankroll. We're going to include my whole betting card at the end of the day. You can use Edge Boost on any of the locks that I give out at the end of the pod. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. You must be 21 years or older to use this. Only valid in legal gambling states. And if you have a problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, so shout out to Starvin Hagler. I believe he was in here before we even went live. So shout out to you. Watching on YouTube Live here at 5:50 a.m. You're a real one. Jumping into the slate here, we begin at 10 a.m. in the Big 12 tournament, where Kansas State is plus 155 on the money line against Texas minus 190. I don't have confirmed starters on this matchup, so it makes me have to project the pitchers here. This is an elimination game, so I think it's going to be all hands on deck for both Kansas State and Texas, but K-State especially, because they are on the NCAA tournament bubble. Texas should also feel the need to win this game, but because they're not cemented in as a top 16 seed to host in the NCAA tournament. I project that Kansas State will start their number two starter, Herman Fajardo. He last pitched on Friday, so this would be 5 days of rest, which matches what the Cats did with their ace, Barema. So that's going to be a current trend throughout the pod. I'll mention, like, hey, they started on Friday, and usually if that's the case and they're starting here on Thursday, that means that they started last week's Thursday starter on Wednesday this week. So they're just going on 5 days rest for most of them. So, there's like 15 games on here that I handicapped, and that was the case for many of them. On the year, Fajardo is 3-4 with a 6.14 ERA, 59 strikeouts, 36 walks in 66 innings pitched. Same situation for Texas, which makes me project that their SP2 LeBaron Johnson Jr., the sophomore righty, is 7-2 with a 2.81 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 31 walks in 67.1 innings pitched. These two pitchers have had very different trajectories lately. Fajardo has a 9.36 ERA in his last four appearances, where Johnson has a 1.89 ERA in his last five starts. I think this is an amazing parlay piece for Thursday, in my opinion. Texas minus 190 is a slam. Then at 10:30 a.m. in the SEC tournament, Texas A&M is plus 115 against South Carolina minus 145. We have a confirmed pitching matchup here. The Aggies will start Justin Lampkin. The freshman lefty is 2-3 on the year with a 6.39 ERA, 65 strikeouts, 25 walks in 50.2 innings pitched. And for South Carolina, it will be Jack Mahoney, and he is 6-2 with a 3.73 ERA, 72 strikeouts, 23 walks in 70 innings pitched. This is all South Carolina here for me. I really believe in their healthy lineup that put up 10 runs in the first game of this tournament, whereas the Aggies, they had an outstanding outing from Wansing in game one to get themselves here. Their offense really hasn't done anything too special. And in fact, the Aggies, they have the second worst batting average in the conference. In a ballpark that, like the Hoover Met, you're not going to be able to hit many home runs out of here. We've only really seen one home run a game so far through the SEC tournament. It's a big pitcher's park. So I have to favor the team with the better starter on the mound. So give me South Carolina at minus 145. Then in Omaha at 11 a.m., we have Michigan State plus 120 against Rutgers minus 150. We have a confirmed starting pitcher matchup here in this one, as the starter Spartans will start Andrew Carson. And my high school teammate is the cousin of this kid, Carson is a senior righty with a 3-4 record, 3.91 ERA in 5 starts this season, 50.2 innings pitched, 47 strikeouts, 23 walks. He has a 7 ERA in his last 3 appearances. And the Scarlet Knights will start Drew Conover. He's 5-4 on the year with a 4.50 ERA, 79 strikeouts, 43 walks in 64 innings pitched. Both of these teams battled in their first games. Sparty, they went to Piscataway and took 2 of 3 from Rutgers earlier in the season. So at plus money, that's my pick because it's tough to get behind Carson's recent form, but if Sparty's hitting, which they actually didn't really get rolling against Maryland, I think they only scored 2 runs, but it was like a 3-2 ball game. They were in it. I think that they have a fighting chance here at plus money. So I think State's the pick there. At 11 a.m. in the ACC tournament, it's Pitt plus 285 against Wake Forest. Pitt's media recap from the Notre Dame game earlier on Wednesday predicted that the pitching matchup will be Logan Evans against Rhett Lauder. So I'm going with that. Rhett Lauder was the easy one to predict. Logan Evans for Pitt does help a lot here. Evans has a 5-2 record for Pitt this year with a 5.90 ERA, 42 strikeouts, 16 walks in 46 innings pitched. Evans has pitched 5 innings in each of his last 4 starts. He has a 3.83 ERA, so he's actually in pretty good form here. And Lauder, on the other hand, was just awarded with the ACC Pitcher of the Year award for the 2nd year in a row during this week. So my only hang up here is, could this, like, obviously Wake Forest is the number one team in the country. This is going to be a parlay piece for many people. Could it be a little bit of a hangover spot after Lauder got the reward? The team did a really nice thing, and they all made a bunch of statements. They put together a video to celebrate with him. But, I mean, he's been dominant. He's got a 12-0 record with a 1.73 ERA, 108 strikeouts, 17 walks, and 88.2 innings pitched this year. So happy Rhett Lauder Day to those who celebrate. Wake Forest is going to be my pick here, but I think Pitt was playing in these. I like the way that Pitt is playing in these ACC tournament games lately. Last year, they won their pool. They went 2-0, and they went to the semifinals. This year, they started 1-0 again. I'm going to say this, proceed with caution if you're going to bet on Wake Forest. At 1 o'clock p.m. in the Pac-12 tournament, Arizona State is plus 105 against Oregon State minus 135. There wasn't starting pitchers announced for either team, so I'm going to have to project the matchup here. Last Thursday, Timmy Manning started for Arizona State. He would be on normal rest going again this Thursday if that's the case. However, Manning is... Manning is only 1-4 on the year with a 7.51 ERA. With the season on the line, because Arizona State, I think, would be out of the current NCAA tournament field if the season ended today. If the season was on the line, the season could end today. I don't think if I were the Sun Devils, I would start Manning. I would actually start Ross Dunn, who would be on 5 days rest, which is just fine. He threw 90 pitches last Friday, and on the season, Russ Dunn has been their best pitcher, but he still only has a 4-6 record, a 4.27 ERA, 84 strikeouts, 44 walks in 65.1 innings pitched. Dunn has pitched much better recently, but the Beavers, they did score 7 runs against him in 4 innings. For what it's worth, the Beavs scored 4 in 2 innings against Manning the time that they saw him earlier this season. Fair started on Wednesday for Oregon State. So if the trend continues, I think that Oregon State would start sophomore Jacob Kmatz. The righty is 5-4 with a 4.71 ERA, 61 strikeouts, 26 walks in 72.2 innings pitched. Against Arizona State, Kmatz threw 5 innings and gave up 3 runs. I feel pretty good about Oregon State in this game, but I'm going to ultimately not bet it just because it's not a good enough feeling to place a minus 135 bet on a game that I really don't know 100% who is starting for these teams. At 1:30 p.m., we go back to the Big 12 tournament in Arlington, Texas, where West Virginia is minus 105 against Oklahoma State minus 125. This game has huge implications in the Big 12. Both of these teams lost their first game here in the Big 12 tournament. and they're both competing to be a top 16 seed in the NCAA tournament to host a regional. But honestly, both their RPIs, I don't know if they are good enough. So it's going to be a tight one, and I think that it's going to be, again, all hands on deck here in the Big 12 tournament for these two teams. There are no confirmed starting pitchers here, so in a must-win elimination game, I think both teams have to have their aces available here because they did not pitch them in the first game of the Big 12 tournament. I want to see West Virginia's Blaine Traxel against Oklahoma State's Jerron Watts Brown. On the season, Traxel is 7-5 with a 3.79 ERA, 71 strikeouts, 20 walks in 99.2 innings pitched. And Watts Brown is 5-4 with a 4.68 ERA, 108 strikeouts, 43 walks in 73 innings pitched. This is ultimately all speculation, so I'm not going to go too much more into depth, but I really want to watch a battle between aces, but my money definitely won't be on a side here. Look into the under, though, because all 14 games of this tournament last year totaled 13 or fewer runs. I know there were four games yesterday, only two of them went under, two of them went over. TCU scored 16 runs by themselves, but it's still a really good trend. And in a ace battle, yeah, give me the under here. And for a lean, I'm going to go with West Virginia, because if Traxel's on the mound, that's been one of my favorite starters to watch all season long. He's a guy that kind of reminds me of myself with a weird arm angle, and he's not an athletic looking body, but he gets the job done. So I love Traxel, and I'm going to back him in West Virginia here. Before we move on, let me tell you more about Shady Rays, because SGPN is teaming up with them for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have the chance to win $500. Shady Rays has you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays has durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. If you don't love them, exchange them for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for our international listeners, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. So go to shadyrays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. And remember, May is almost over, so make sure to take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, back to the games here. I got to flip the page. I'm going to actually grab a drink here too. At 3 o'clock, we head over to Omaha, Nebraska for the Big Ten tournament, where Iowa is -135 against Indiana, +105. Honestly, circle this one on the day. This is going to be one of the best games all day long. There's not a confirmed pitching matchup here for this game yet, but I think both teams are going to throw some of their best. For the Hoosiers, I project that Luke Sennard will throw here. He started last Thursday, so he would be on full rest here. On the year, Sennard is 6-3 with a 4.48 ERA, 104 strikeouts, 23 walks in 78.1 innings. And I project that the Hawkeyes will not start Brody Brecht on 4 days rest. He pitched last Saturday. Instead, they're going to start Ty Langenberg, who's on five days rest, I think. I think they'll go with Langenberg here. Langenberg is 5-3 with 4.50 ERA, 71 strikeouts, 28 walks, and 64 innings pitched. Both of these pitchers pitched outstanding against each other's teams the last time they faced earlier this season, as Langenberg threw 5.1 innings scoreless versus Indiana, and Sennard threw 6 scoreless with a dozen punchies. Indiana won that game 4-2. They also took 2 of 3 in that series from Iowa in Bloomington. I question why the Hoosiers are at plus money here, Both of these offenses are very similar to each other. But Keaton Anthony still has not returned for Iowa after that gambling report earlier this month, which is pretty disappointing. I thought that he would be back for the postseason after missing 10 games so far, but he's Iowa's best hitter. This is the only edge that I could really find between the two teams. So my pick here is going to be Indiana at plus 105. Then at 3 o'clock p.m., in the ACC tournament, North Carolina is plus 115 against Virginia, minus 145. We are back to confirmed pitching matchups here, as I'm definitely not complaining about that either. The Tar Heels will give the ball to Jake Knapp, who's 4-3 with a 5.11 ERA, 55 strikeouts, 31 walks, 56.1 innings. Knapp has a 4.62 ERA in his last four starts. Connelly Early will bump for the Cavs. The transfer out of Army has been stellar this season, mostly pitching in the midweek games. He has a 10-1 record with a 3.18 ERA, 78 strikeouts, 15 walks in 65 innings pitched. But you have to read between the lines. Early has made three starts against ACC teams so far this season. He pitched against Virginia Tech, Louisville, and Georgia Tech. Ironically, those are three of the four worst teams in the ACC. Early has a combined ERA of 8.31 in those three games, giving up 12 runs in 13 innings against some of the worst teams in the ACC this year. The Tar Heels just put up 11 runs in their first game at the DBAT. It's an offensive environment, and I think the success for North Carolina continues. Give me them at plus 115. I think it's a great look, and I would also prefer an over here. Good morning, Lane Elliott. He's back in the chat. I think that's like 3 days in a row for him. So shout out to Lane, real one. Team, what do we call it during the college basketball season? I think we called it SGPNU. Love the chat. Then at 5 o'clock p.m. in the Big 12 tournament, Kansas is plus 185 on the money line. Thank the Lord for the Jayhawks plus 200 yesterday. Great W. They're taking on TCU minus 230. The Horned Frogs lineup is, they absolutely love hitting in Globe Life Park because they destroyed K-State yesterday, 16-3. The Frogs are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they're averaging 13 runs scored in Globe Life Park this season. It's absolutely nuts. They started off the year in a three-game tournament. It was like the College Classic or something like that. They were putting up mad runs in that game. Then in the last game, they had 16. So they're averaging 13 runs in the stadium, and it's a pitcher's park. There's no confirmed pitchers for this game, so I'm going to project that Hunter Cachero will make his eighth start for the Jayhawks this season. Cachero is 3-1 with a 6.75 ERA, 24 strikeouts, 8 walks, and 44 innings pitched. Cachero pitched last Friday, so that gives me the idea that if they started Baumgartner on 5 days rest, they're going to start Cachero here on 5 days rest. And he has a 10.86 ERA in his last three starts. And then for TCU, I project that Cole Klecker will start. And the freshman righty is 9-4 on the year with a 3.84 ERA, 53 strikeouts, 24 walks in 72.2 innings. This is an absolute smash spot here for TCU's TCU, because their sticks are so hot right now, and they don't have to waste. They didn't have to waste any important relievers in that blowout win yesterday. So TCU, what little bullpen arms they have, they still have them available. I think it's a very nice parlay piece for Thursday. So TCU minus 230 has my full endorsement there. Jordan Thackeray in the chat, he goes, love following these picks. Keep up the good work, bro. Thanks for tuning in, Jordan. Goes out. I mean, dude, this is my only job, so that's why I'm doing this in the middle of the night, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I really enjoy it. Thank you all for tuning in live. At 5:30 p.m. in the SEC tournament, oh, baby, it LSU against Arkansas. The Tigers are minus 150. The Hogs are plus 120. We don't have a confirmed pitching matchup here, but every college baseball fan is hoping and praying that the stars align and we see LSU's Paul Skeens against Arkansas's Hagen Smith. The top two pitchers in the SEC on the top two teams in the SEC West Division. On the year, Skeens is 10-1 with a 1.77 ERA, 164 strikeouts, 15 walks, and 86.2 innings. Earlier this season, Skeens started against the Razorbacks, and he surrendered just one run on two hits in seven innings. The bullpen proceeded to give up nine runs and blow that win for Skeens. Hagan Smith is 8-1 on the year with a 2.56 ERA, 93 strikeouts, 37 walks in 63.1 innings. Hagan threw 4.2 innings of relief on that same day that Skeens started. Hagan gave up three runs via two home runs. I lean LSU here, but I'm not going to bet it at -150 against Arkansas. I'm sorry, but that Paul Skeens tax is just not worth it on a Thursday. So LSU, I think their offense went nuts in the first game against South Carolina. It's one of the best in the country, one of the best lineups in the country. And with Paul Skeens on the mound, you just don't fade him. Now, the strategy for Arkansas, like if you have a book that offers live odds, wait until maybe the sixth or the seventh inning when LSU's up, what? They're going to be up maybe 3-0, 3-2, 5-2, something like that. They'll be up probably three runs in the sixth or the seventh inning. If the possibility is there, jump on Arkansas at +350 live money line. Just flip a coin, honestly, with this LSU bullpen, because they just started Thatcher Hurd yesterday's game, and he was their most reliable reliever a weekend ago. They don't really have anybody that they can trust in the back end there. So that's my tip there. I'm not going to fade LSU, but then later in the game, that's when you target it. 5:30 p.m. in the Pac-12 tournament out in Scottsdale, Arizona. USC is -120 against Washington, -110. Washington got their asses kicked against UCLA, and their game write-up was very brief, which is quite funny. USC didn't put out any projected starting pitcher either here, so I'm left to project this matchup. Blake Soderstrom through last Thursday. So on normal rest, I project him to start this game for the Trojans. The senior righty is 4-3 with a 3.82 ERA, 72 strikeouts, 30 walks in 68.1 innings. Yesterday, I projected that Stu Flesland III would start. He didn't, and I haven't seen any injury information, so I'm going to project him to start here on Thursday too. Flesland is 6-2 with a 3.97 ERA. Usually the 1-0 teams beat the 0-1 teams in the ACC pool play tournament. That trend is now 0-1 in the Pac-12 tournament because Washington blew it. Didn't even show up to that first game against UCLA. So maybe if Washington tucks their tails between their legs, they head back to Seattle 0-2. My pick here is USC -120. But honestly, if Flesland starts, the Huskies have a fighting chance to win this game. The chat, more people jumping in here at 6:10 a.m. Eastern. Shout out to Easy Eagles. He totally agrees on that Arkansas LSU handicap. We have a couple of people in the Twitch chat, actually. And shout out to Kramer and Sean, who I was on the podcast. I was on Sports Gambling Podcast just yesterday. And they were asking if any sickos were jumping into the chat in the early mornings. Well, we've already got a guy asking for feet picks. So shout out to those sickos. And then Josh Cantu jumped in here too. If there's an under out there for LSU game, do we hit it? The only thing is like that bullpen gave up nine runs in a Skeens gem earlier this year against Arkansas. However, it would have to depend on where that number comes out, because I would expect it probably be at like 11.5 with two of the best pitchers in the SEC. This tournament has been pretty good for the under. I think it's like 6-2 in the eight games so far. So that's not a bad look at all. And then Josh Cantu also says, thank you for all the picks. You handicapping every game is awesome. Thanks, man. Hey, it's my only job right now, so I'm able to just completely screw around with my sleep schedule and handicap these games during the middle of the night. And also, I've gotten a couple of DMs throughout the day. I sleep from like 10 to not 10. I sleep from about 7 in the morning to 2:30, 3 o'clock. So I kind of, I do it for the people. I miss out on the first day, on the first window of games throughout the postseason. But I find it fun. So I program tweets to send out the picks prior to game times. I usually do it like 15 to half hour before the game time. So people that don't listen to the pod can find it. But now those people that don't listen to the pod can view it on our website for free, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, college baseball picks. It's under the MLB tab. You can view it for free. Even my picks on mid-major games are located there. So for free, check it out. We've had two winning days so far to start off postseason. Starvin Hagler in the YouTube chat goes, seems like all college bullpens are crapshoots. Most of them kind of are. I'm not going to lie. There are a couple of, you really only have like a standard college baseball team really only has two good arms in the bullpen. So you gotta have a couple of dependable starters to get you through. And that's a really good strategy that we use during the regionals and the first round of the College World Series, because in those four-team double elimination and pool play games, you could play up to five games in a three-day span, and you have to count or like at least check pitch counts for a lot of these pitchers, because if they're using their relievers for about 30 pitches one day, usually they have to take a day off because the arm just can't take it. And honestly, if you're throwing it on, if they're throwing them on short rest, it's just risky for the health of the player. Easy Eagles, he goes, we'll be sure to check it out on, I'm assuming, the picks page online. He says, we're killing it. So thank you, Easy Eagles. And jumping into the ACC tournament here again at 7 p.m. We got four games left. It's Miami minus 125 against NC State minus 105. The Wolfpack enter this game 1-0 in the ACC tournament so far, so this is not a punt play scenario. We don't have confirmed pitchers here, so I have to project this one. And it was kind of tough. And speaking of the regional scene where you have to count like how many pitchers are throwing how many pitches and what kind of rest they'll be on, NC State threw all three of their top starters, all three of their weekend starters in game one against Duke. And it was tough to project a starting pitcher here, because on Tuesday against Duke, Matt Willitson started the game. He threw about 60 pitches. Then Dom Fritton and Logan Whitaker relieved him with more than 35 pitches, both of them. So I think that 2021 college baseball postseason legend Sam Heifel could get the start here. On the year, he's 6-2 as a reliever with a 3.94 ERA. He does have four starts on the season, 43 strikeouts, 17 walks in 48 innings pitched. Heifel has a 3.80 ERA over the last month, so he's been in great form recently. And for Miami, Gage Zeal started last Thursday, so I think he'll get the nod here. Zeal is 7-4 on the year with a 4.65 ERA, 88 strikeouts, 18 walks in 81.1 innings. In general, both of these teams have been pretty Jekyll and Hyde this season, so it's tough to pick a game that doesn't really have confirmed starting pitchers. I lean NC State here just because I think that they're comfortable in this ACC tournament. Last year, they went 2-0 in their pool. They went all the way to the championship game. They lost a nail biter there, and they got fucked by the NCAA tournament committee. They got left out of the bracket. I don't think that team wants to feel that taste again. I think they want to stick it to the NCAA. I think they want to win this conference tournament, not even leave it up to them to leave them out of the tournament again, because they once again find themselves on the bubble. So I lean NC State, but love the over. ACC tournaments overs have been nuts. Moneyline Ed says, you are the man, Noah. Let's go, Moneyline Ed. We've got three more games on the slate. At 7 o'clock in the Big Ten tournament, Nebraska is plus 105 on the money line. Maryland is minus 135. We have confirmed starting pitchers here in Omaha. Nebraska will start Jace Kaminska, who's 7-3 on the year with a 4.36 ERA, 52 strikeouts, 13 walks in 66 innings. On May 6th, Kaminska faced Maryland, and the Terps put up 7 runs in 4 innings. Maryland will start Nick Dean, who's 3-1 on the season with a 5.20 ERA, 68 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 64 innings pitched. And on Cinco de Mayo, he did face Nebraska. He only gave up 2 runs in 4 innings. But his 2 most recent starts since, Dean has an ERA of 15.18. So 15.18 is his ERA in his 2 starts against Minnesota and Penn State. Those are the most two most recent starts here. So honestly, Nick Dean was a guy that we were all really, really, really looking upon highly last season. Last season, he was the ace going into the year. He didn't pitch pretty well. And then again, this year, we were hoping for a bounce back year, and it just hasn't quite happened. He's not in good form lately. So I'm staying away from this game, but I think both offenses might put up a good amount of runs. So I lean Terps, and I like the over. 8:30 p.m. I lied. We have 3 more games now. 8:30 p.m. Oakland. Jesus Christ. It's not the MLB, and that team sucks. Oklahoma is +110 against Texas Tech, who's -140. The pitchers have not been confirmed for this game, but the Sooners are in a really, really good spot. Yesterday, I projected that their ace, Braden Carmichael, could get the start, but he did not. So that allows him to throw today on full rest. Carmichael is 7-0 with a 3.25 ERA, 57 strikeouts, 12 walks, and 69.1 innings pitched. Barring an injury, which I didn't hear any injury news, I feel pretty good about Carmichael making the start here. And for the Red Raiders, I think they'll start Trenton Parrish, who's 3-2 with a 6 ERA and 9 starts this season, 57 innings, 50 strikeouts, 35 walks. He started last Friday, so that would put him on 5 days rest. I feel pretty good about this projection. Both of these guys are on full rest, and OU's ace, Carmichael, if he throws +110 is a great price. That's not where it's going to get closed at. Oklahoma will probably close minus money. I like the Sooners here because their ace will throw this game on full rest. He's gonna throw. I feel really damn good about that. At 9 o'clock p.m. The penultimate game. Shout out to Malcolm. The ultimate pen is Vanderbilt -110 against Florida. -120. There are no confirmed pitchers for this game. And actually, at the end of the night, Tim Corbin was on SEC Now, and they asked him who the starting pitcher was. They asked him if Devin Fetrell would start, and he immediately shot the idea down. So Carter Holton, he's injured right now. And they said that Hunter Owen is a little bit more ready than him earlier this weekend before the SEC tournament even began. So the idea that Corbin shot down Fetrell must mean that we see Hunter Owen start on Thursday night. Owen's 4-0 with a 3.16 ERA this season, 67 strikeouts, 16 walks, and 57 innings pitched. This would be his first start since May 5th due to injury. Carter Holton is still hurt, so yeah, I think Owen could start this game if it's not going to be Fetrell. And then for Florida, I think it's going to be Brandon Sproat. He started last Thursday, so Sproat's on full rest, and he is 7-3 on the year with a 4.85 ERA, 100 strikeouts, 35 walks, and 78 innings pitched. 2 weeks ago, he threw 6 scoreless innings against the Vandy boys. Therefore, I think this is a good bet if he faces a pitcher who hasn't started in 3 weeks. Obviously, I want to know, because if that's Fetrell there, then I think this is a total coin flip game. But if Fetrell doesn't start and Owen does, I think it's a nice spot to fade him. Last game of the night at 10 p.m. in the Pac-12 tournament. Oregon is +100 against Stanford, -130. The Cardinals scored 10 runs in the 8th and 9th innings to beat Cal Wednesday night, and now they've locked up a spot in the semifinals. The way that the Pac-12 tournament works is that there's 3 pools of 3 teams, and then there's 1 wild. So the 3 winners of those pools move on to the semifinals, and there's 1 wild card that moves on to the top 4 as well. If Stanford goes 1-1, they have the tiebreaker, because the highest seeded team in the Pac-12 tournament that's 1-1 gets in. So Stanford really does not have to try too hard to win this game, because they know that if they do go 1-1, they are locked in to the semifinals. So being that there are no confirmed pitchers, I think that Stanford is going to pass on starting Quinn Matthews, who's been their ace and really their most reliable pitcher in general. Outside of him, it feels like kind of LSU of the West. Oregon's rotation is so banged up too right now with injuries. It's hard to project a starter, but I think that Turner Spoljark will start. He started last Friday. He threw 7 scoreless against Utah. And on the season, the freshman is 5-0 with a 5.63 ERA, 25 strikeouts, 18 walks, and 40 innings pitched. This would only be his fifth start of the season. So obviously check the pitching matchup for this one. If Matthews starts, Stanford's a bet at -130. But I really don't think that Matthews is going to start here because they would just probably start him or prefer to start him in the semifinal on Friday. So if that should be the case, I think with a semifinal game on Friday, I think that they'll choose to throw Quinn Matthews that day. And then the week after, the regional will start on Friday and use your ace in that game. So it's really not affecting Matthews at all if they wait on him. Plus, I think he threw last Friday. So he would be going on only 5 days rest if he starts on Thursday. So I think they just let him start on Friday here. So if he does start on Thursday, Stanford's a bet at -130. If he does not, the Oregon Ducks are my pick at +100. Sorry, but +100 is not great value at fading Stanford here. So I'm not going to bet it, but Oregon would be my pick if Matthews is not on the mound. And that does it for the pod for the picks. Now we're going to go to the betting card just and review some of my favorite bets of the day. My Edge Boost pick of the day, which you can use our code SGPN there, and you can double your bet. So it basically works like a Visa card. And my pick there, my favorite bet of the day, is Oklahoma at +110. It's a starting pitcher mismatch as OU's ace, Carmichael, will start this game, and he's going up against Texas Tech's second best starter in Parrish, who has a 6 ERA. Carmichael would be on full rest. I don't know why you wouldn't use him here. So give me the Sooners at +110. The other two straights that I have for Thursday are South Carolina at -145 against Texas A&M. Jack Mahoney's been really good for the Cocks lately, and A&M's offense hasn't really impressed me too much. And then the third bet that we have of the day is +115 on North Carolina. I just need to see Connolly early pitch well against an ACC team. I really like that handicap that I had. It was, again, I need to find this number. In 3 starts against ACC teams, he faced Virginia Tech, Louisville, and Georgia Tech. Those are 3 of the 4 worst teams in the ACC, and Early had a combined ERA of 8.31. He gave up 12 runs in 13 innings, so I really like the way that Tar Heels swung the bats early in game 1 of this ACC tournament. The overs really play here. That's a game that I like the over as well. But +115, I think there's good value with the Tar Heels at plus money. Then for the podcast parlay, we lost it yesterday, so we're 1-1 in the postseason. But I'm going to take you to the Lone Star State +118. One unit on this to win one and some change. It's Texas and TCU. I just think that both of these are huge starting pitcher mismatches. And TCU, they're facing Kansas State's second best starter in Herman Fajardo, but their offense is rolling. They're averaging over 13 runs per game in Globe Life Park in 4 games this season. And Texas, they get a great matchup against Kansas State. Wait, did I just fuck that up? TCU's not playing Kansas State. They're playing Kansas. Sorry. And Kansas is still throwing their second best starter, but Hunter Cachero is the Jayhawks' second best starter's name. He has a 10.86 ERA in his last three starts. So TCU minus 230 is the second leg of that parlay. The first leg is Texas against Kansas State. Texas is minus 190, and Fajardo has a 9.36 ERA in his last four games. That's the starter for the Cats here. And LeBaron Johnson Jr. has a 1.89 ERA in his last five starts. So Texas and TCU, I think that's a really good parlay at plus 118. Lane Elliott, one more comment in the chat at 6:25 a.m. Shout out to him. He goes, North Carolina got the W the other day. Yes, UNC won. They were the team that beat NC State in the championship of the ACC tournament last year, I believe. That was another team that won their pool last year. So they are very comfortable in playing in these pool play games in the ACC tournament. So give me the Tar Heels here. That does it for the picks on the pod. Plugs. So check out the picks page on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. It's college baseball picks. You can find it under the MLB tab, or it's really cool. You can type in college baseball picks on Google, and we're one of the first links that pop up. I put in all of these picks plus mid-major games, and we've had two winning days on that website picking every game that there's betting odds offered for it. So check that out. Check me out on Twitter at 77NB, the word 70, the number 7NB. I will be tweeting out totals that I find usually. So this is the policy. You can hit me up all you want, but I'm asleep. I sleep from probably 7 to yesterday. I woke up at 3 o'clock, 3:30, something like that. And that's when I'll respond. However, like Twitter's weird and my DMs have been awful through the last 2 months or whatever. I've just recently been able to open and reply. I used to be able to just only open them and I couldn't respond to people, which was really, really weird. But now that's fixed, but they still don't notify you when you get a new DM from somebody. You have to go into the new requests and then accept it or whatever. But my DMs are open. I am free to talk to whoever and hit me up about anything. I was doing the same thing for college basketball as well. TikTok, it's also 77NB. I will be posting stuff prior to the NCAA tournament beginning over there, because I actually have somewhat of a good following on that profile somehow from college basketball picks. You can follow the show on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. Check out the College Football Experience. There was a new episode yesterday. Welcome Colby back to the States. We'll get him on the podcast here sometime soon. Probably a reaction show of the NCAA tournament bracket being released on Memorial Day. That's probably when we'll get Colby here. So they have a brand new episode out on the College Football Experience. College Basketball Experience doing off-season pods. Now that Colby's back, they'll be probably one a week, I think. So shout out Moneyline Mac there. He's doing also the NFL gambling podcast. So shout out them. Shout out the Sports Gambling Podcast who had me on the show just last night. Go check out that episode. It's the last half hour we're talking about college baseball. Had a little fun on that show. NASCAR gambling podcast, golf gambling podcast, F1 gambling podcast. SGPN's great. So Josh Cantu just commented, when will I post today's picks on the site? After I place my bets for today, and once I get this podcast uploaded to Spotify and Apple and all the good podcasting platforms out there for the people. So yes, that will be up in probably 15 minutes. I got to look through some of the games, see who some of the mid-major teams are starting. But yes, that will be up probably about 7 a.m. time. So 6:30 a.m. for your boy. I'm signing off. I got to get the pod up. Games start at what, 10 a.m. today in the Big 12 tournament. It was Texas and Kansas State, and we have a bet on that game. So I got to get everything ready to go. I got to program some tweets to send out before that game. And yeah, I don't think I have anything else to plug. Thank you guys for joining in live. Of course, DraftKings didn't put out odds till 1 o'clock, so I couldn't start till 1 a.m. But you know, it was kind of fun having a couple of you guys in here live. I don't think the goal is to start it at 5:40 every day, but that is a positive to a negative. I really appreciate you guys jumping in here, interacting live. Shout out to the boys. SGPNU, love you all. With that, I think the show has to be over. I keep rambling on. I suck at outros. But thank you all for tuning in. You've been experiencing the better side of college baseball with the College Baseball Experience. Adios, amigos.